I'm going to take this moment just to quickly run through the California ballot proposition results to just reset where we're at, and I'll do them numerically, just like our voter cramp session, but now after the election. Proposition 14, the stem cell bond measure, has not been called yet. It has a very slight lead, 51% yes. Proposition 15, that would establish a split property tax roll, pulling the commercial and industrial properties out of Prop 13 protections that residential property has not been called yet. That is trailing, 52% no on Prop 15. Prop 16 has been called by the Associated Press. It goes down to defeat. 56% of California voters said they did not want to undo Prop 209, a ban on affirmative action in public employment in California and public university and college admissions. That loses. Prop 17, which gives the right to vote to felony parolees in California, it passed with 59%. Proposition 18, which would allow 17-year-olds to vote in primary elections if they're going to turn 18 by the time of that year's general election, that has not been called yet, but it is trailing 55% no on 18. Proposition 19, which has a couple of major components affecting property taxes, one which would reset the tax basis of inherited properties if the heir doesn't move into the property within a year, the other that allows Prop 13 lower tax basis portability to multiple properties after someone is age 55. That is leading with 52%, but that has not been called yet, Prop 19. Proposition 20, which, as we're just talking with Frank Stoltz, would have expanded criminal penalties, number of property crime areas, also for some categories of crimes, would have taken away early eligibility for parole. That has not been called yet. Has been called yet, 62%. That went down to a major defeat. Prop 21, rent control, similar to the measure of 2 years ago, similar to 2 years ago, it lost 60% no. As we talked last hour about Prop 22 and the ride-hailing drivers being exempted from AB 5 employee status, that one big 58% yes. The kidney dialysis requirement of Prop 23 that a doc be on the premises when dialysis is being provided, that lost 64% no on that doctor mandate. Prop 24, which expands privacy laws in California, passed big, 56%. And cash bail, that has been called by the Associated Press. It goes down to defeat. Proposition 25, 55% no on Prop 25. Cash bail continues in California. Libby Denkman with us. We have a number of local races. Let's talk about, first of all, your thoughts on the state ballot propositions, Libby. And, some of these were quite one-sided, including the criminal justice one, Proposition 20.
Yeah, I think, there are some issues with voter confusion. I know that when the proponents, for example, for the affirmative action Proposition 16 talk about what happened with that campaign, they talk a lot about folks not being educated enough. They didn't get out in front of voters soon enough. You and Frank, of course, it's always difficult to follow Frank Stoltz, the man, the myth, the legend. So you put me in a tough spot here, Larry. But Frank talked about the progressive opposition to 25 with the cash bail system. And, even Snoop Dogg tweeted about that, saying he was going to vote against 25. So, the awareness of the way that impacted Black people and people of color, potentially, with the algorithms that went into pretrial release. There are some things that were surprising about the way that Californians voted. But, when you looked at the way those campaigns built over time, that you can follow the threads.
Well, and it's always funny to me how people who sponsor losing ballot propositions always say, well, if people had just been educated, they would have agreed with our position.
I know. I want to say voters just weren't that into you. But it's hard to accept that, when you get broken up with.
All right. Well, let's talk talk about local races in Los Angeles. We just talked in the last segment about the L.A. County District Attorney's race. In the 2nd District County Supervisorial race, Holly Mitchell with a lopsided win over the outgoing president of the L.A. City Council, Herb Wesson. Mitchell had polled very well here. She did very well in the primary in March. But, you know, to some it might be a surprise who hadn't followed this race more closely, because Wesson, of course, had more name recognition coming in.
Oh, a huge amount of name recognition and connections in the district. Of course, Mitchell also represented part of the district in the state Senate, but she hasn't been around as long as Herb Wesson. You know, I think that Wesson, there was some fallout from the ethics scandal at City Hall. We did hear some of that. I moderated a debate between these two candidates during this campaign. And, you know, Mitchell never straight up came out and attacked Wesson for being the city council president and a close ally of Jose Huizar, who's now facing corruption charges. But you could tell that that was an undertone in this campaign, that she would talk about ethics quite a bit. And I do think that, you know, both of them really focused on police accountability. Herb Wesson was trying to position himself as really on the vanguard of defunding or at least moving some funding away from LAPD in the city council. He helped introduce the $150 million budget cut to LAPD. He was endorsed by Black Lives Matter LA co-founder Malina Abdullah. They had worked closely together to get the people's budget, a survey of Angelenos about the priorities they'd like to see the funding go to, in front of city council in a special meeting with Nuri Martinez. So they had formed a tight working relationship. It was a surprise, because Holly Mitchell was considered the more progressive candidate, to see Black Lives Matter and LA Can go, you know, for Wesson. But by and large, the progressive momentum was behind Holly Mitchell, and she really hit Wesson hard on his support for Charter Amendment C back in 2017, I believe that was, the city charter amendment that would change the way that LAPD officers faced discipline, that they were able to choose to have an all-civilian review panel when they were facing discipline. And that was something that opponents said would favor the police officers who were facing discipline, because civilians tended to rule in favor of officers more than, you know, highly experienced command staff. And so the ACLU, a lot of groups were very opposed to that. And Wesson had really shepherded it through and got the approval of voters. So, you know, something that Mitchell was able to sort of tell a story on was that Wesson, while he was working and is working on a lot of issues around police accountability in the city right now, he was a more recent convert to the cause. Now, he pushed back on that, you know, very hard and talked about his record way back, you know, even in the assembly. But that, again, was a narrative that Mitchell was able to tell. And I think, you know, a combination of factors that, along with her progressive support, you know, she's a very well-known in terms of the statewide influence she has. She's the budget chair in the state Senate. So if anyone knows how to deal with a large budget shortfall in the city, in the county, it's her. But, you know, I think it still is a surprise. The margin of her victory is really impressive.
Well, and I think back to when Yvonne Burke was the sole woman on the 5-member board, LA County Board of Supervisors, and with Holly Mitchell's assumed winning of this race, all 5 of the supervisors will be women.
It's incredible. I mean, and these are some of the most powerful local elected positions you can possibly have, right? It's a $35 billion budget. It's each of the supervisors have 2 million constituents. I mean, this is a gigantic position, LA County Supervisor, and I think way undercovered and underappreciated for the kind of public contracts that they oversee, the budget. I mean, they're the social safety net for a 10.5 million person county. You know, it's just such a gigantic position that is, I think, overlooked nationwide and locally sometimes.
LA City Council, 2 seats are up, and you probably have the very latest on the count between the 4th District candidates, Nithya Raman and David Rue, the incumbent. Raman, as of yesterday's count, was leading by 4 percentage points. Libby, is that holding?
So Raman extended her lead ever so slightly with the new ballot count that came in yesterday. And that was a big deal because the question was whether we would continue to see this blue mirage factor where the early vote by mail were favoring more progressive left-leaning candidates and the later in-person that were coming in the tally were shifting things rightward, which we saw really across Southern California in the past few days. But Nithya Raman was able to keep her lead steady, and it looks as though in that CD4 race, which includes Los Feliz, Sherman Oaks, it's kind of this weird sprawling district like over the Hollywood Hills, and it includes Toluca Lake and then all the way down to Koreatown. She extended that lead by about 300 votes, 278 votes. And so while it's not a lot, right now she leads by 5,400 votes. Because it stayed so steady and because, you know, there's going to be a limited number of ballots left in that specific city council district, the math looks incredibly difficult, if not impossible, for David Rue to make up. But again, still many ballots left to count. And so no one has officially called that one yet, although supporters of Nithya Raman, and even Mike Bonin on the city council has congratulated her on an apparent victory. Of course, Bonin probably excited to see another progressive join the council and wonder what could happen with a dynamic duo of more progressive representatives there.
A 10th district, Mark Ridley Thomas, with a big win over Grace Yu. I can't imagine there's any way statistically you can come back with Ridley Thomas's more than 60% of that vote.
No, yeah.
He's just got such name recognition, termed out as a supervisor, which he's currently holding on to that second district seat on the Board of Supervisors, but he's been around forever.
He has been. He has been, in the legislature. He was in the council for 3 terms in the 90s. He's the once and future councilman now. He was himself even surprised he was allowed to run again for city council when he first heard about it. There was a funny anecdote. He was on a panel somewhere or something, and he got a question about it. And he was like, Can I do that? Are you sure? And eventually it happened. You know, he ran. And, there's been a lot of speculation. Of course, Mark Ridley Thomas, longtime leader locally. In the primary, he got a lot of questions because that race was wider open, more candidates, about whether he would use this as a stepping stone to run for mayor. He and Kevin De Leon, who now represents the 14th district, both were getting peppered with those questions in the primary, and neither one would rule it out. So presumably, these are still very possibly 2 heavy hitter mayoral candidates in a couple of years in 2022. Mark Ridley Thomas and Kevin De Leon, very familiar names, an African-American stalwart on the political scene and a Latino, big shot on the political scene. So that'll be a very interesting development if that ends up being your lineup for the mayoral race in 2022.
Libby, let's close out with the latest on the vote count in Los Angeles and Orange County. Where do we stand?
Sure. So we have in Los Angeles County, almost 3.4 million ballots that have been counted so far. Total registration with all the conditionals and everything day of is about 5.7 million. And so, currently with the tally that has happened already, turnout is sitting at about 59% in LA County, but that will rise because we have over 618,000 ballots left to count in the county. And that includes vote-by-mail ballots that came in up to Election Day, conditional voter registration ballots, so people who had to either register in person or there were issues with their registration, so they had to register conditionally, provisional ballots, and then anything that was, like, damaged or they had other issues where the ballots have to be remade. But we don't know how many late-arriving vote-by-mail there will be, so that number will definitely rise. So we're looking at a turnout in Los Angeles County potentially in the 70s. It really depends. And about 4 million ballots in would be about a 70% turnout, which would be higher than in 2016.
All right. And Orange County, I know that the attempt there by Neil Kelly was to have the bulk of the votes counted within 24 hours after the election, but they're still accepting ballots, right?
Oh, yes. Everywhere in California is accepting them until the 20th of November, if they were postmarked on or before Election Day. Orange County's got about 1.3 million ballots counted so far, a total registration of 1.7 million. And so that turnout right now with the current tally is already 74% in Orange County, but they have over 200,000 ballots left to count, and that will rise as the late arriving vote by mail come in. So turnout in Orange County could be 84%, Larry. It could even be slightly higher than that. It was 81% in 2016. Very high turnout in Orange County, and I think you're seeing those competitive congressional districts really driving that. You know, Neil Kelly, God love him because he is so responsive to the media and he is an excellent registrar. We still have those tight congressional races that won't be called, at least for a couple days here. I think he was really hoping that he could get the bulk of the ballots in and we wouldn't see the same questions arising about, you know, late arriving vote by mail and everything that always occurs when your count kind of changes over the course of the counting process, your percentages for candidates at least. But, you know, that's happening again. And that's just shows what a purple district Orange County still is.
These races are incredibly tight. I mean, in the 39th district, Young Kim and Gil Cisneros, the incumbent, Kim the Republican, Cisneros the Democrat, they're just neck and neck. And the same in the 48th with Michelle Steele, the challenger to Harley Ruda, Michelle Steele the Republican, Ruda the incumbent Democrat. I mean, these may come down just a handful of votes, Libby.
Yeah, in the 39th, Young Kim is leading Gil Cisneros with 1,500 votes. She expanded that lead slightly with the new ballot counts from LA County and OC. Her advantage is all in the OC area of the district. You know, the thing is that the late arriving vote by mail in Orange County was definitely favoring not late arriving vote by mail, excuse me, the later count of the in-persons that was tallied after the first initial drop. That was definitely favoring her, and we're seeing that across Orange County. The Republicans are far, far ahead in the in-person count because I think they were holding onto their ballots at the advice of the president and Republican leaders. And then in the 48th district, as you mentioned, Harley Ruda trailing Michelle Steele, another seat Democrats flipped in 2018 and are hoping to hold on to, but she has a 2,800 vote difference and also expanded her lead with the last count. But these late arriving vote by mail could be interesting. And also, you know, any, you know, conditional registrations day of that could skew more left. And so that race could tighten. For now, both of those Korean American women candidates, which is also a storyline Republicans are seeing across House races in 2020, which is a surprise for the Republican Party. They have a number of very strong female and people of color candidates who are doing very well. The Republican Party is not known for having a diverse House class, but you know, it's looking to get more diverse and could even be more with these Orange County seats.
Libby, I've got to wrap real quickly. 25th district, where Christy Smith is looking to flip that back to Democratic. Mike Garcia holds the seat currently.
Yes, Smith leads by just 1,700 votes there. It narrowed in the last update from L.A. County.
Okay.
And the question is, are there enough ballots left there for Garcia to catch the Democrat Smith?
All right. Libby, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on all these very close races. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry.
You'll be hearing her, of course, throughout the course of the day here on KPCC. And visit VoterGamePlan.com for the very latest on all the election results, as well as KPCC's newsroom reporting on all of these important races throughout California and here in Southern California. Coming up, we'll talk about a measure passed in Oregon, which treats what we typically call hard drugs differently under the law. We'll be back in 90 seconds.